views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area, WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New York, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio and Cable Radio Network. I'm so glad you've joined me today. I have the opportunity of speaking to somebody today who we've been trying to get on the show forever. And he is a fascinating individual. But before we get to our wonderful guest, I want to say hello to Benny. How are you doing, Benny?
Doing well as usual, Christine. And we miss you here in the studio today. But via technology and all the facets around it, we can still produce the show. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful for that, Benny. And, you know, I do miss being in the studio with you. And, you know, that the technology is the quality's a little bit better, and I like being present, you know, with the microphones and the digital clocks that go to the second. And yet here I am in sunny Arizona getting some of the vitamin D I so desperately missed.
Well, we are too, so I'm not going to let you have it all, okay?
Okay. Well, yeah, so, but I'm getting some warmth too, Benny, so no.
Oh, is that how it is? I see how it is.
Yeah. And, you know, Benny, we've talked about dreams here on the show in the past, and you know, I'm fascinated by dreams, and I know our listeners are as well. My guest today, his name is Robert Moss, and he views dreams in a different way. It's kind of like he takes it to another level. So by the end of this show, you're not going to be thinking about dreaming in the same way that you've entered this, listening to the show. And I tell you, this man is fascinating. He's the creator of something called active dreaming, which is really a synthesis of modern dream work and shamanism. He's born in Australia. You'll recognize that by his little accent. And he has survived three near-death experiences in childhood. He leads popular seminars all over the world, including a three-year training for teachers of active dreaming. I think he's taught in something like 20 countries. He's a former lecturer in ancient history at the Australian National University. He's a best-selling novelist, poet, journalist, and independent scholar. He actually used to write best-selling thrillers. And it was on a New York Times bestseller list, and he changed his life, and we're going to hear all about that. He's got 9 books that have been published on dreaming, shamanism, and imagination, including Conscious Dreaming, The Secret History of Dreaming, and Dreaming the Soul Back Home. Robert Moss describes himself as a dream teacher on a path for which there has been no career track in our culture. And his latest book that's just hot off the press is called The Boy Who Died and Came Back, Adventures of a Dream Archaeologist in the Multiverse. I'd like to welcome Robert Moss.
Pleasure to be with you, Christine.
Oh, I'm so pleased to have you here. You know, my assistant Peggy Snow, who's just so tuned in and so knowledgeable about like the great teachers of transformation out there, has been saying for a long time, you know, we really need to get Robert Moss on the show. And I'm so glad that we've been able to time it, and we're going to talk about your events coming up in Seattle. But, you know, I'm just fascinated by your perspective on dreams. And I first want to ask you, how did you go from writing thrillers to writing about active dreaming?
Well, I'm a lifelong dreamer. You know that. I've used dreams in every mode of my life. When I was writing best-selling thrillers, they'd give me ideas for characters, plot elements, and I'd attribute some of my own dreams to the characters when I wasn't turning them into part of the action. So using dreams as a central element in life is part of my story in all phases. What happened to me in the mid-1980s is I got terribly bored with being a best-selling thriller writer. It might look like other people's dreams, riding in stretch limos, chilled Dom Perignon on the hotel suite provided by the publisher, whether you want it or not. But
success,
I found that some of those books are pretty good. I mean, some of my later thrillers, Moscow Rules and Carnival of Spies, I think are quite superior. But something was clawing at me, and that something, Christine, was my creative self wanting me to do something more. So I decided to buy some land. I bought a farm in upstate New York in the Hudson River Valley, and I decided I'd see if I could put down some roots in my adopted country and learn the land and listen to the land. And I'm living there with the family of red foxes who live at the edge of the cornfield,
and
the white-tailed deer, and the great blue heron, and the sandhill crane, and all of that. And my dreams become tremendously important again. I mean, they've always been important, but the nature of the dreaming shifts. I find myself dreaming of the lives of people who lived in that neighborhood in earlier century, in the 1700s. I find myself dreaming of the life of a colorful Anglo-Irishman, a major historical figure who lived on the New York frontier in the time of the French and Indian War. I feel myself connected to him. So there's a kind of trans-temporal drama going on, a past-life connection, if you like. And as that grows in my dreaming and my sense of everything, I find an extraordinary woman, a native woman, known to him in his time, is coming through to me and calling me, it seems, in my own dreams and visions to understand things more important than the values of the world I'd been in. She wants me to understand that dreaming is about healing. Dreaming is about soul recovery. Dreaming is for the community as well as the individual. And these dream and vision encounters with the woman I called Island Woman, a Mohawk Indian shaman and mother of the Wolf Clan of her people, eventually forced me to change my life. I mean, they shook me up so completely, I decided I would simply turn my back on the life I'd been leading and find a way to get this together and see where it wanted to take me.
How wonderful. So you bought the land, and you began to tune into something more that was there, that was not in the visible eye, but rather something that was entering your dreams and your consciousness, urging you to change.
Yes, but let's note that the world will speak to us in things that are visible and fully alive to all of the senses as well as through dreams. I mean, for native people, for ancient and indigenous people, there's really no clear separation between working with dreams and visions and listening to the speaking land, as the Strait and Aborigines put it. I moved to the farm. I mean, the decisive factor was I felt a connection to a great white oak behind the farmhouse, and I'm sitting under the oak thinking, if I'm meant to move up here and leave the life I've known, there better be another sign. And a red-tailed hawk comes circling overhead, dropping lower and lower. I don't want to scare your listeners, but it's squalling at me in a language I feel I ought to understand. And drops the feather between my legs. That's a visible, palpable thing in the ordinary world. And, you know, I sometimes refer to coincidence as a secret handshake from the universe. This is a very unsecret wing brush from the deeper universe, giving me confirmation this is what I'm supposed to do. So in this period of my life and ever since, I pay attention to visible signs in the world around me just as I pay attention to dreams and visions. You know, when we go dreaming, we step beyond the bounds of ordinary reality and consensus understanding. Through synchronicity, the powers of the deeper universe come through the curtain walls of our limited comprehension to bring us awake. So waking or sleeping in any reality, the game is fundamentally the same.
You know, in your book, you've talked about how you had not one, not two, but three near-death experiences. What purpose do you think that they played into this expansion and new arena that you ended up moving into?
Well, they certainly expanded my knowledge. I mean, I died at 3 years old. That's where the title of the new book, The Boy Who Died and Came Back, comes from. It was a bitter winter in Tasmania, where my father had been posted as an army officer. I got pneumonia. I lost vital signs. I died, in the opinion of the doctors, as they could register those things in those days. And then, to their surprise, I came back. And one of the doctors said to my parents, "Oh, your boy died and he came back, didn't he?" Now, I don't remember much of what happened, if anything, of what happened when I was out of the body, age three. I do remember it's terribly hard for me to operate in this world for a while. Operating the body seemed to be like trying to drive my father's big, blocky automobile without being able to reach the pedals, without any driving instructions. So I had a hard time living in this world. At some point in that difficult period after that first death experience, I met an Aboriginal boy from the native culture of Australia who gave me the first model for understanding these things I had ever come across. He said, very matter-of-factly, you know, when we get sick, we go and live with the spirits, and when we get well, we come back, and sometimes we're not the same. Those words lived with me. When I was 9, and I tell this story in more detail than I've cared to do so before in The Boy Who Died and Came Back, when I was 9, I died in a Melbourne hospital under emergency appendectomy, and I seemed to live a whole life with the beautiful people in another world, and I seemed to grow up among them, become a father, grandfather, elder. And I came back remembering. I came back reluctantly. I did not expect to be back in the body of a 9-year-old boy in a Melbourne hospital. Uh-huh. So what's the purpose of that in relation to understanding, to pick up your excellent question? Well, what it did for me, Christine, is it taught me indelibly, age 9, that there are worlds beyond the physical world. There are other dimensions of reality. They are no less real than this world and might in some ways be more real. And we can go there. Eventually, I learned that you don't have to have the extremity of an experience like that to travel in those other realities. As a boy, it continued to be very hard for me to operate in ordinary reality, and very hard for me to talk about these things, because I'm growing up in a conservative era in Australia, in a military family, and my parents are good people, but, you know, you don't really talk about dreams and visions and spirits and other worlds. I mean, it's not really comfortable stuff. So I had to lay fairly low in terms of what I could say about these things. But eventually, of course, I learned how to talk about them, and now I talk about them to anyone who wants to hear.
And I'm so glad you're talking about them today. We're going to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to talk a little bit more about the purpose of dreams, because your perspective on dreaming and how to integrate that into our life is very different than anything I've read before. So more with the wonderful Robert Moss when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I have just closed my eyes again, climbed aboard the dream weave chain. Driver, take away my worries of today.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. one of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Starella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Starella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Starella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Welcome back to the Christian Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Robert Moss, who's the author of many books, including many bestsellers. His latest book, hot off the press, is The Boy Who Died and Came Back, Adventures of a Dream Archaeologist in the Multiverse. Now, Robert, before the break, you were talking about how you ended up going through this transformation, and you transitioned from best-selling New York Times, best-selling author, you know, thrillers, and you sort of found your way into this new exploratory realm that led you to create active dreaming. Now, can you please share with our listeners your perspective on dreaming and why you decided to create something that goes beyond the usual definition of dreaming?
Well, dreaming is fundamentally about waking up. I mean, we think that it's a matter of sleep experience, and of course we have very many important dreams in our sleep, the kind of dreams we do not ask for and may not want, but that help to bring us awake. But there are other forms of dreaming. There's lucid dreaming. There are experiences in the hypnagogic zone, which is the $5 word for that state between sleep and awake, as Tinkerbell calls it in the movie.
And there are other ways of dreaming. Say that word again. What's it called?
The place between sleep and awake, the hypnagogic zone. The hypnagogic zone is the area of visual experience and that in the liminal state, the borderland state between sleep and waking. There's an old French word for that state, dorveille. It means sleep-wake. I strongly recommend learning to spend more time in that in-between state. In fact, one of the chapters of my new book is all about this, about spending more time in the place between sleep and awake, a phrase I borrowed from Tinkerbell in the Disney movie version of Peter Pan. There's so much good stuff available. There's the easiest way on an everyday basis to become a lucid or conscious dreamer. It's a place of psychic engagement with intelligences beyond yourself. It's a very interesting state. So, you know, to answer your question, my take on dreams is that they're about far more than we understand, both in terms of what is going on in a sleep dream and in terms of the fact that there are more ways of dreaming than what goes on during sleep, and also in the sense that there are things we can do with our dreams, with other people, with family, with community, with friends, with life, that most of us have forgotten to do, and they can empower and juice and energize everything. Let me just make a comment briefly, which will let the history professor inside of me out. I mean, you mentioned I started out as a junior history professor, and I wrote a book called The Secret History of Dreaming, which is all about the central importance of dreaming in this larger sense in every area of human activity throughout our whole evolution. And I would say this to keep it very simple and clear. There are three reasons why most human societies across human history have valued dreams and dreamers highly, more highly than we tend to do in our society today. The first is they've understood that dreams are a way of getting into contact with an intelligence and a wisdom beyond ourselves, whether we call that God, goddess, the higher self, nature, spirit, the ancestors, or whatever. The second is that they've understood that dreams show us the future. We scout out the future. We see things which will happen, which is precognition. But more interestingly, we see things that may or may not happen, depending on whether we can clarify the information and do something useful with it. So, once we wake up to that, we might be able to shape the future for the better, not only for ourselves, but for others. And thirdly, Most societies have understood that dreaming is medicine, dreaming is healing in important ways, that dreams diagnose what's going on inside the body, that dreams give us imagery for healing when we get sick, and that this is not the least important thing, Christine, and that dreams show us what the soul or the spirit or the fundamental self wants, as opposed to what the ego thinks is important or what other people tell you. Dreams put us in touch with soul, which can be such a tremendous source of healing and guidance.
Right. And, you know, Robert, you know, this concept of predicting the future, why is that not an odd thing? Because I think that some people think, well, you know, we're living in linear time. There's the past, there's the present, there's the future. How can we tune into what we call the future?
Well, we do it every night. So anybody who wants to explore the relations with the future and with time itself, it's not only about the future, it's about the past, it's about parallel times, it's about all of it. Anybody, any day, if they're willing to remember and record some dreams, has the basic material to work with. So do this. I mean, you want to explore your relationship with time and with the future. See if you can jot down some notes any day from your night dreams and ask this of the material. Is it remotely possible that anything that you dream could manifest in some way in the future, literally or symbolically? Don't throw it away because it looks mundane or trivial. The dreams that predict the future, that show us the future in specific detail, often seem mundane or trivial because, you know, many of the incidents of life are mundane or trivial. Getting through to the wrong hotel room, for example. If you dream that, you might think, well, that's not very interesting, but it would be an exact preparation for Benny's challenge in getting through to you today,
yes.
For example. We dream that kind of thing. Be late for the airport. Guess what? That can happen, and if you fly a lot, it might be a recurring problem. Alternatively, you know, if you've got something that seems completely wild and wacko, you've got a dragon in your basement, don't throw it away and say it could not possibly relate to your regular life, your ordinary reality. Your furnace could blow up. You might have something that erupts with the emotional force of a dragon emitting fire from the depths of your life or from the bowels of your body. So do that. I mean, ask of any dream material you catch, hey, is it remotely possible this could manifest in the future? And I guarantee that at some point, probably it won't take too long, you'll notice that something you have dreamed is playing out in waking life. And then you'll have your direct personal confirmation that you're able to travel across time in your dreams. And that's the beginning of doing more interesting things.
And you've talked about how you've actually had your life saved by these precognitive dreams.
Well, let me give you a quick example, shall I? So we have different styles of dreaming. One of the ways that I know whether I'm actually in danger of death in a dream, in danger of physical death, is that I find myself in the dream going into an afterlife situation in a way that I have not chosen. I mean, people ask me all the time, what does it mean if you die in your dreams? Well, I want to know, you know, what your relationship with your dreams is. So that's just a quick preamble. So I dream that I'm driving on a road I know perfectly well in upstate New York, Route 2 heading east. I come to a fork in the road. There's a convenience store gas station beyond the fork. I know it very well, drive there all the time.
Uh-huh.
At that point, everything stops, and the sky turns very strange, and I'm thrown into some bizarre landscapes, and I understand I am in the afterlife, and I haven't chosen to be there. So I come out of the dream thinking, I'd better remember exactly where the action stopped, because I think I was shown a possible scenario for death on that road, and I note I will be very cautious approaching that fork in that road heading east. 2 weeks later, there's a big UPS truck parked on a double yellow, blocking my vision. Normally, I would pull out beyond it, but it is the spot where the action ceased in the dream. So I slow almost to stopping and so miss the head-on collision with the 18-wheeler coming down the road at 60 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
That, to my certain knowledge, is a moment when I escaped death, a death I didn't want, because I got some dream information and I used it.
That's wonderful. And, you know, Robert, many years ago, before, you know, I understood the concept of precognitive dreams, you know, believed that that was a possibility, I was facing what was like the early stages of cancer. It was the possibility of that. And I was not worried about it because I thought it was like skin cancer, you know. But, you know, I was not concerned. But I'd had a biopsy, and when I was waiting to get the results back from the biopsy, I had a dream where somebody was taking a needle and putting it in the middle of this lesion and taking blood out. And I'm thinking, it was disturbing me greatly, and I didn't know what to make of it. Well, as it turns out, it was the early stages of this cancer, type of lymphoma, and I still didn't know what the dream meant, and it wasn't until about a month later I was doing medical research about this disease, and they started, you know, I was looking at about how they stage the disease, and it was what they do is they take peripheral blood to determine it. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that was it. And so that synchronicity, of the research combined with that dream, kind of connected the points together. And in my knowingness, my full knowingness, I knew that I had the early stages of cancer, which is important to me because ultimately what I did is I healed myself. And yet, had I not really paid attention to that dream and then been looking for synchronicities, I don't know that I would have been able to empower myself in the same way.
Well, I salute you for sharing that dream and for working with it at the time. I mean, it's very important that we share our stories like this so we can really hear each other and instruct and inspire those who are listening to us. So I salute you for sharing that experience, Christine, and it is a very educational, a very instructive example of what is both a diagnostic dream and, in $5 language, a prodromic dream, a dream that's the term used of dreams in relation to health and medical symptoms. Something that is showing something that's going to be developing, but it's also, of course, apparently rather exact precognition of a test procedure that, was going to be involved. So that's a very exact and very gripping example of how dreams can help us to save our health and even to save our lives. And I think anybody listening to you talking about that is going to be inspired to look more carefully at their own dreams in terms of resources available to understand what is going on in the body, and I would add in the soul, and to help us to stay well or to get well.
And, Robert, you've got so much great information on your website and wonderful books. How do people find you on the Internet?
Well, I'm actually all over the Internet. Paleo Man here is quite active on the Internet. My website is mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com. I'm quite active on Facebook. We've all heard of Facebook these days. The author page is Robert Moss Dreams. There are other Facebook pages. I have a lively personal page. And, of course, and I'm teaching all over the map. I teach a great deal in the Seattle area, which I know is sometimes home to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I know there are people listening from all over the world, but we've got a huge percentage of our listeners in Seattle right now. You've got an event coming up this coming weekend, don't you?
Well, I'm going to be on public view at East West, that great store in Seattle, on Friday of next week, which is Friday the 28th at 7:30. I'm at East West introducing The Boy Who Died and Came Back and giving some guidance on how to live consciously in the multidimensional universe. That'll be fun. It's a nominal charge. Then that weekend, I'm doing one of these incredible adventures that I lead. It's called Your Multidimensional Self, and it's about how to live consciously in the multidimensional universe, how to explore parallel selves, past selves, the future, to develop resources for life. And you can find out the details of the workshop at mossdreams.com.
Right.
And I teach in the Seattle area, usually out at Mosswood Hollow, a great retreat center near Duval, every other month. It's my favorite area to teach in North America. It's funny that I don't live there, but I have such good friends I can go there and feel at home without actually having to pay the rent.
That's great. Well, more with Robert Moss, and we'll return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Ari Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Ari has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Ari party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150, WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, and Rhode Island, Cable Radio Network, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm having a conversation today with Robert Moss. He's the author of many, many books, including his most recent book called The Boy Who Died and Came Back, Adventures of a Dream Archaeologist in the Multiverse. Now, Robert, first of all, can you define for our listeners what a multiverse is?
Well, it's a cute term for multidimensional reality, and the idea here is that we're living in one of many worlds, many dimensions. I'm sympathetic to the many worlds theory of physics, which says that right now, while you and I are talking, there's a parallel universe not far away where, you know, where we're not talking, and there's a parallel universe a bit further away where Robert, the boy who died and came back, died at three and did not come back into this world, and so on.
Yes.
So I'm also sympathetic to the idea that within range of us, within range of human knowledge, are worlds of different kinds, higher worlds, lower worlds, upper worlds, lower worlds in the shaman's cosmos, for example, where we can go and have interaction with other beings, including aspects of our own higher self, and learn important things. And travel for creativity, empowerment, healing, initiation, all that good stuff.
Right.
So
now,
it's multiverse, it's not my coinage, but it's a term that I'm helping to popularize as a simple way of saying we're living in a multidimensional universe. Let's try and expand our understanding so we become more like multidimensional beings using sources and resources beyond the ordinary range.
Right, and I love the concept of multiverse as well. You know, the fact that there are scientists out there talking about these things, about how we potentially have all these different realities, and you know, when you think about the choices we make down our path can affect us to basically not only have a different life, but maybe we're jumping from path to path, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, what is important here is that what I'm offering is a practice. And you notice that I talk about it in stories rather than in theories. I mean, science is giving us very interesting hypotheses about these things, which will turn into practical action in scientific ways. But what active dreaming, this approach that I've pioneered, gives us is experiential ways, human ways of understanding what living in the multidimensional universe can be like. For example, I teach people to be time travelers. It might sound crazy. We're talking about mental time travel. We're not talking about physical time travel. But I teach people, for example, to go back to a younger self in this lifetime and provide the mentoring and counseling and cheerleading that younger self might have needed at a vulnerable time. I teach people, if they want to know about past lives, whether past lives of their self or ancestral stuff, that they can do this consciously. In their dreams, they're already doing it. They can learn to do this consciously, and they can not only look in on what the story of that life was, they might be able to have mental communication with the person living in that other time, and so on through the parallel lives. If there are parallel worlds, but then we have parallel selves in those parallel worlds, and maybe there are things we can learn and gifts we can derive by a conscious connection with them. So I teach people experientially to make the trip and explore these things firsthand and see if they can bring back some knowledge, some energy, some tools for life. And so that's why this sort of shamanic approach to dreaming is right in sync with where physics is taking us in terms of our understanding of reality, except that what we are offering is the human experiential way of understanding quantum physics or many world theory and bringing some practical benefits from it into your life.
So, in other words, what you're doing is you're taking this shamanic approach to, you know, interacting with this, these other realms, and you're bringing it to the masses for use in daily life.
Yeah, to the extent that I believe in past lives, and I do believe that we have connections with personalities and other pasts and so on, Christine, I have the impression that in many of my past connections, I was pretty much a man of power, pretty elitist, pretty used to getting what I wanted and telling people what to do. Uh-huh. I feel I've got a certain amount of karma to work off, if you follow me. So in this life, I've absolute, and I could have gone that way in this life too. But my game, the game that I enjoy, is to empower ordinary people in every ordinary situation where I can reach them to make more of their life, to understand more of their bigger story, and to live that story and tell that story so well it wants to take root in the world. And my great joy as a teacher is to see the light of recognition, the light of spirit in someone's eyes, and they begin to wake up to how easy this is, how simple it is, how the multidimensional universe is open to us. It's not a matter of arcane stuff with mumbo-jumbo off in some exotic corner. You can do it in everyday life wherever you live. The doors to the multidimensional universe open from wherever you are right now.
And that's really exciting, because when you think about what they open to, it's very empowering.
It is empowering. And, you know, and so it starts with very simple things like make some room for your dreams. And I'm talking now about those sleep dreams. And then spend a little bit of more time in that floaty in-between state we were discussing, the state of hypnagogia. And then look at the world around you as a set of symbols and signs and messages. Don't go crazy about it. Don't think that every funny thing that's going on in the street is a commandment to sell all stocks or you jump off the cliff or whatever. But learn some pattern recognition. Learn to pay attention to what pops up in the world around you as a set of dream symbols and possible signs for life. I mean, these are actually the two essential halves of being an active dreamer in life, to pay attention to the dreams that take us beyond ordinary reality, and then to pay attention to the way that synchronicity pops up in the midst of ordinary reality.
Well, Robert, you know, the more I've been paying attention to synchronicity in my own life, the more bombarded I am with information. It's almost like saying yes to it really shifts something.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't necessarily like the way the law of attraction is talked about in some New Age circles, but it's a real law. We do draw things or repel things according to the attitudes and interests that we carry. And once you become interested in synchronicity, willing to work with it, you observe more of it. And it's not just that you observe more of it, you become a kind of synchronicity magnet, I think, actually. Things are drawn to you. Sometimes it's almost absurd. Shall I tell you a story about that?
Please do, yes.
It's an almost absurd example. I think I put this one in the new book, The Boy Who Died and Came Back. So I dream that I have written an epic, you know, in the ancient Greek style, like the Odyssey or the Jason and the Argonauts, and I wake sort of juiced by this dream, and so I'm getting on a flight to, I'm going to Boulder, actually, to introduce the collection of poetry that I published last year at the Boulder Bookstore. And I'm thinking, and I'm carrying translations of these Greek epics in my carry-on bags, and I meet a woman on the plane who talks just like me, the sort of Anglo-Australian accent, you're not quite sure where it's from. And I say to her, "You talk just like me." And she says, this is amazing, Christine, she says, "Of course, I'm Helen of Troy. And I looked at her, what? Stranger on the plane has just announced she is Helen of Troy. She's a distinguished lady, even older than me. She's not, doesn't seem to be Gaga. What? Anyway, she's moved to Troy, New York. She says, you won't know where that is. I said, no, I lived there for 10 years, I tell her, because of my dream. So I met Helen of Troy on the plane, and the conversation's good, but let's skip the rest of the detail there. Now I'm at the Boulder bookstore. I'm going to read from my poetry collection. I'm greeted at the door by a young woman who says, my name is Athena, she says. And I look at her, I say, where's Odysseus? And the store manager says, oh, Odysseus, he works for the bookstore. Let me page him. Paging Odysseus, paging Odysseus. And suddenly we've got this good-looking, muscled young guy with flowing hair and flowing beard straight out of the Iliad or the Odyssey. And you're really Odysseus. Yes, my parents are in Greece. I'm really Odysseus. And then the next day I'm going out to Gaia TV to do a show. And I'm greeted by a young woman called Gaia, the Greek name for the earth goddess. And this is getting too much. Helen of Troy, Athena, Odysseus, Gaia. I get in the studio and they ask me, give an example of living consciously in the multidimensional universe. And I start talking about runs of coincidence like this. They say, wait, stop. We have to call in Icarus. Icarus is in-studio producer. So we've now got another guy with a mythic name in. So sometimes these runs of coincidence are almost absurd. You know, you can't fail to notice that something in the world is trying to get your attention. It comes up again and again. So I like to say in relation to all of this, if you want to get really good at living by coincidence or synchronicity, you need to develop poetic health. I'm borrowing the phrase from the French poet Baudelaire, who said we need poetic health. Poetic health means you begin to notice, you become attuned to what the rhymes and rhythms of the day, what repeats. You develop a talent for resemblances, a rare talent for resemblances. So you notice the poetry of life. It's not just about the signs or the individual symbols. It's about a kind of field perception, a kind of pattern recognition. And the gift of all this, Christine, when you get into it, is that you'll feel as you go through life that the air is full of tiny champagne bubbles of magic and possibility. Life is transformed.
Yes, and we have lots of support. We're going to go on another quick break, but more with Robert Moss. We return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Late at night when all the world is sleeping, I stay up and think of you. And I wish on a star that somewhere you are.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. 'Cause I'm dreaming.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WVLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation with the fascinating Robert Moss. He's the author of many books, including The Boy Who Died and Came Back, Adventures of a Dream Archaeologist in the Multiverse. Now, Robert, I want to make sure to mention your event again, your events in the Seattle area again. I know you've got events all over the world, and people can find out by going to your website, mossdreams.com, and you probably post them on Facebook as well, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and I will be there coming at your event Friday night, a week from today, at East West Bookshop. Can you just share with us what you're going to be talking about there?
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we'll be launching the new book, The Boy Who Died and Came Back, but I'll also be giving, you know, some incentives, some incitement to living more consciously in the multiverse, the multidimensional universe. We'll be talking about living by synchronicity. We'll be talking about hanging out in that place between sleep and awake. We'll be talking about contacting the self on a slightly higher level and about using imagery for healing, all of that good stuff.
Wonderful. And then you've got an event at Mosswood Hollow Retreat in Duval, right?
I teach at Mosswood Hollow every other month, really. The one this weekend, I think there's still one or two spaces left. It's pretty tight, but it's called Your Multidimensional Self. And this is not a lecture. I mean, I'll be known to talk from time to time, but it's an in-depth experience of traveling with the aid of shamanic drumming, with really good preparation and guidance, to do really interesting things, exploring the nature of the multidimensional universe, contacting yourself on a higher level, investigating past lives, future lives, parallel lives. And I teach there a lot. I mean, I'm doing other, if you go to the website, mossdreams.com, you'll see I'm teaching programs with titles like The House of Time, Accessing Your Past, Future, and Parallel Lives, or Dreaming Like an Egyptian. or time travel and reality creation. So we're
wonderful,
doing really
yeah.
radical, exciting programs, but you know what? You've got a sense of adventure and a sense of humor, you're ready. I mean, these are programs where you can jump in and find yourself swimming in the deep end of the pool and not drowning.
And what I love about your work, Robert, is that even though there's all these fascinating theories associated with it, you get down to the nuts and bolts about applying this in our daily lives to help us transform and become happier or more balanced people.
Yeah, all of this is a practice more than a theory. Of course, I have certain theories. I have a left brain. I need models of understanding for things like anybody else. But
sure.
This is essentially about bringing energy. It's about real magic, Christine. Real magic, mm-hmm. I would define as the art of bringing gifts from another reality into this one. So it's about real magic, going to sources and resources that are available to everybody, but we often fail to use sufficiently. Those sources and resources, to me, are dreams, synchronicity, and the imagination, which we tend to underrate, the power of visioning something and helping it to manifest in the world because you put the right kind of effort, the right kind of energy into growing the right kind of vision that wants to take root in the world. And beyond all that, it's about helping people to discover their bigger story. In my native Australia, the Aborigines say, this is a wonderful Aboriginal saying, the big stories are hunting the right people to tell them. I would expand that
Ooh,
to say the big stories are hunting the right people to live them and to tell them. And I think you know also that, you know, if we are seized by a larger story, a sense of a deeper drama, a mythic quality to our life, that can give us courage and juice to get through the everyday ups and downs. So So I am very much in favor, very much about putting people in touch with that larger story and letting them carry its energy.
You know, Robert, you've talked before about the multiverse. You've talked about this concept of time travel, about tapping into, you know, other lives, other aspects of ourselves, other aspects of the universe. You know, what role does the death or possible death, you know, ultimate death in this life play in how we live our lives, and what's your perception on death?
Well, death to me is an ally, a teacher, an impeccable ally. I wrote a blog today inspired by a dream from last night about that, really, and I wrote about my lifelong relationship with Yama, one of the personified forms of death, the Hindu death lord. I like the edgy sense that death is right there at my left shoulder and maybe yours, encouraging us to look at everything with the courage and clarity that death brings. Because if we know that we can die at any moment, and if we also know that there is life beyond death, something that dreamers come to know firsthand, then we look at life issues in a different way. And sometimes we have energy for life and clarity for life which is otherwise lacking. So I want to go through life with death as my advisor, knowing I am in its presence. Mm-hmm. And drawing energy for life, not morbid defeatism, from that contact. Of course, I'm someone who's lived close to death through my boyhood experiences from a very early stage in this life. But I feel this juice, I feel this energy, I feel this courage from knowing that death is right there. Montaigne, the French essayist, said something wonderful about this. He said, "We do not know where death will find us, so let us be prepared to meet death anywhere." I mean, that's mm-hmm. part of my philosophy of living.
A part of our journey, but it's also encouraging us to take a more heart-filled and empowered journey, whatever length of time we have left.
Yes, why on earth should we be ready to check out carrying regrets about the things we did not do in this life, for example?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things to carry with you in your approach to things. You know, suppose you're going to die tomorrow or today. What are the things that you will regret not having done? You know, mm-hmm. where your courage failed you, where you wouldn't take that risk, where you wouldn't make that creative act, where you wouldn't trust yourself to courage or vision. Why not right now think about doing something in your life so that you wouldn't have to die regretting that thing you left undone? This is the kind of meditation I put people through in some of my workshops, the kind of meditation I invite them to embark upon in my books. And it's almost a daily meditation for me. What have I not done that I'm going to regret if checkout time turns out to be tonight? I was drawn to think about that again by a dream last night. And it's a powerful meditation for everyday living.
Wonderful. So when you take shamanic approaches to, you know, getting the information and becoming more whole, how does that affect us in our daily living? What benefits can that have?
Well, I think a central thing here is that if you follow the shamanic approach, I mean, what I understand to be the interesting shamanic approach, you're going to find that you are connected with more aspects of yourself, more of your vital energy, more of your soul self than may have been fully present up to that moment. I think the greatest single contribution of the ancient shaman knowledge to our contemporary healing is the understanding that we suffer soul loss, as shamans call it. We suffer pain, abuse, trauma. We give up on our best dreams. We fall into bad company. And part of us goes away because it's disgusted with us or because the world is too cruel, and it goes somewhere else. So there's a hole in our being which needs to be filled. And if not filled by the right things, maybe filled by the wrong things. So in the shamanic model, we embark upon soul retrieval or soul recovery, trying to bring back to the body of the living person parts that are missing. And in a shamanic practice, you might turn to the shaman to do this for you. In my practice, I like to teach people to become shamans of their own souls and healers of their own lives and their own bodies by finding ways, everyday ways that work, to draw back that beautiful child self, that teenager who is shamed and abused, that creative poet or artist who went missing because you were so bent on, you know, paying the bills and doing what other people told you, getting all of those together. So when you follow a practical shamanic approach to these things, you are very interested for yourself and for others. You will assist in bringing more of soul, more of vital energy, more of creativity into the body.
That sounds wonderful. And, you know, I think that's what we're all yearning for, whether we know it or not.
Yes. Yes. I'm surrounded, as I talk to you, I'm at home, Wonder of Wonders, and I'm surrounded by toys. My desk is full of toy soldiers. Hey, I'm a boy. You know, lions, tigers, bears, a few statues of Eastern deities and other things. But I'm basically surrounded by a world of toys, marbles, miniature worlds, because I want my boy Roberts to feel that they are welcome to be with me in my life. And I want their joy and imagination and energy in my life. So that's part of it, keeping our child selves who have all the abounding imagination and energy we need, keeping them close. And now my boy selves are saying, go on, Robert, when are you going to write a book for us? Get on with it. So,
more things to do before you
More things
meet
to
that.
Do, exactly.
You know, Robert, it's been such a joy to talk to you today. Can you please share with our listeners one more time how they can find out more information about you, your books, and your events?
Well, if you go to mossdreams.com, M-O-S-S Dreams, plural, that's the website, and go to the events calendar, you'll see where I'm teaching, and you'll see a sampling from my blogs. I have a couple of blogs. The Robert Moss blog is the most important. And I'm on Facebook. You can just go and like Robert Moss Dreams. That's the main author page, or you can ask to be a personal friend of Robert Moss. I'm quite active on Facebook. I never expected that I would be as active as I am, but it's quite fun. So various ways of finding me on the Internet.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today and for sharing your wonderful insights with our listeners.
You are a dream host, Christine. You bring out such life and joy. I'm sure it reaches all of your listeners. So here's a dreamer's wish for you. May your best dreams come true.
Oh, thank you so much, Robert. And thank you, listeners. We were just talking about this transition to death, and I just want to mention that I've got a lot of listeners out there, and I love hearing from you. I had a very special listener who was almost 86, who was a friend's father who'd listen almost every single week. One of these amazing people who would, despite his age and his generation, was open his mind to more. And he passed away. His name is Richard Floberg. And Richard, I'm going to miss you from the Christine Upchurch Show. So I thank each of you who's listening today, and I hope you live your dreams. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.TransformationTalkRadio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, SpiritualNetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the home of some of the world's most inspiring talk radio hosts. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will be bringing you another amazing, educational, and inspiring show to get you on the path to transforming your life. For more information about us, please visit our website, www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk.
Talk Radio.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.